looking for flags.
You know, we'll just point towards the front of the school. There's the flags out there. I was thinking of that myself, but we didn't put one.
Yeah, we should have one. Yeah, there should be one.
I think we have a quorum. We've already figured out who's not going to be here. So you have that, right? Okay. So we'll call the meeting to order. We've done roll call. Teresa, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? We're going to point over there in the corner. Pretend it's over there.
Ready, begin.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, approval of the minutes. Cecilia has sent the minutes around. Are there any comments, questions on the minutes? Motion to approve?
I make a motion.
David?
Second.
Teresa, second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
I have to abstain.
You have to abstain?
Yeah.
One abstention?
Computer failure. I'm just coming off pneumonia. I haven't had a chance to review it yet.
Okay. Public comments? Any comments from the public? I think we have lost our public.
Where did she
went to the restroom?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we'll come back to that when she comes back in and see if she has anything. Prop K audit, Gary?
Okay, we have the audit for you. This is for your review. We will bring it to the board at the February meeting. What date is it?
February 10th.
February 10th, and we'll have the auditors there to present it. So this gives you an opportunity to read it and also involve it in your report that you'll be doing in March. So this gives you, we give it to you firsthand. And then you can read it and develop some questions, and then you can always ask it at the board meeting.
Okay. Any questions about the process? Okay, this will be, you know, the core, one of the core elements of our annual report. So we could all be sure to read it. If we have questions, come up with whatever questions we have so we can follow up with the auditor staff at a later point. Now, Gary, from the last year's audit, there were those three questions that we had.
It's involved in the audit. It was involved in the previous audit, too. I think one, off the top of my head, one was internal controls, which they do with our regular audit as well as this audit. So they tested payments. I don't know how many payments they tested. It's in the book. And looked at the internal controls. We also did, you know, on work on are the expenses related to the bond. So I don't think there may have been just a few expenses for technology.
Yeah.
And so they tested those as well.
Unfortunately, I don't have those three questions with me. I forgot to bring that. But as I recall, the questions weren't really the substance of the report. But there's some exculpatory language that auditors always put in the report that sort of said, well, we aren't opining on this. We aren't opining on that. And that's what I think the committee had asked for some, why aren't you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't so much the substance. Mm-hmm. It was in the language that says, don't hold us.
I passed those three on for that. To my finance director to pass it to work with them on it. So I believe they answered those questions in here.
Okay.
And I can try to pull those questions out again that you emailed me. And
just be sure they're covered somewhere.
Sure.
Just
sure.
To close that loop.
I remember one was it had to do with internal controls, which they did cover. And there, I forget what the other two were.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll send that around,
okay.
Too.
Yep.
We can just circle
sure.
through. Just be sure in this cycle, you know, the report will address those three points.
Of course.
It's probably one of those things that's what we have to say, according to our professional standards. But.
Yeah, they, as it was explained to me, the audit is directed by both the law, the Prop 39 law, and what they call the Yellow Book, which is basically the generally accepted auditing principles, the GAAP. So that's what drives their audit, and if there's something specially requested, they would put that in there as well or look at something. Especially was their concerns from the prior year, so I don't direct them.
It
just comes from
they're independent.
Yeah, from them and on my regular audit, a lot of times the direction comes from the state controller. The controller, okay, I know you do your normal, but look at these five things while you're at it. Sometimes if we get a new grant, they'll say, look at this grant if it's a statewide grant and make sure we're following. So I asked them, does the controller play with this at all. And he goes, no, it doesn't. They don't get involved. It's just the original law, proposition law, and the general accepted auditing principles.
Right. And my suspicion is those three fall out of that, the generally accepted statements that an accountant can, or an auditor can make in their report. Mm-hmm. So, but we should just close
sure,
that.
Sure, we can look at it, and then they can answer or speak right. to it as well. Right.
Great. We passed through the public comments, but we'll come back. Do you have any public comments?
You know, I just wanted to make a comment, and that is I wanted to know if a fire alarm system was connected to this building yet. Because a couple weeks ago, the fire alarm went off, and I telephoned the police department, the sheriff's office, on their non-public number, and they said the fire alarm was not connected.
Yeah, it was still under construction at that time.
Right.
Kathy can speak to that. Kathy, is the fire alarm up and running now?
Yes, it is.
We heard a fire alarm on Tuesday. We didn't know, Tuesday evening. We didn't know if that was this building or if it was someplace in the neighborhood.
Oh.
But the thing is, what really surprised my husband and I is when the fire alarm went on, you know, we did not hear any sirens following it.
We were still testing, and when we're testing our alarms, we will call the fire department and say, we're going into test mode.
Don't respond.
Please don't respond.
Right.
So that's...
Were you testing Friday evening?
Well, yeah, we tested through, actually through the weekend and into Monday.
No, this was Tuesday. This was Tuesday night. We were Tuesday.
Again, it's just they're continuing to check them. Everything has been certified now. We've had numerous walks with the fire department and working on everything to make sure that we are safe for the kids.
And then when is the camp, is there nobody on this campus? I'm outside of security.
Outside of security, it'd be between 10:30 and 6.
I mean, I'm not counting a sports team. Yeah, I'm used to the sports game, but I'm just curious to know when the property is vacant.
Between 10:30
and 9
p.m.
is the custodians leave.
Okay.
Until probably 6 in the morning.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
And that's standard throughout all our schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We were actually announcing an idea of maybe doing a couple of the cleanings real late at night because we just can't get to them because
right.
kids are in there, like the gym or something, but we haven't crossed that road yet. So we may have a staff working, let's say, 10 to 2,
okay.
but we haven't done that yet.
Okay. Okay.
So that's that. And on all my schools, I want all the lights going off when the custodian leaves. Some districts leave them on 24/7.
Yeah.
I don't.
Oh, okay, all right.
But it doesn't mean 5 years from now, when someone else is sitting here, they may have a different philosophy.
Right. Right.
But there's philosophies about vandalism.
Right.
If it's dark, some kids are afraid to go on.
Right.
And some say, well, if it's light, then they don't do as much. We just go dark.
No, but I have seen, you know, some of the lights on late at night, and I really thought that was more of a security issue than anything else.
Generally not, unless they're just trying to tune it in here. That's all.
Okay. And the other thing is that I saw the website this afternoon before I came in, and I noticed the Proc K website did not announce this meeting, number one. And number two, the agenda, there was no agenda also on the Proc K side. There was only a notice on the calendar.
The website, I looked at it today too, and the website, there's a section for upcoming meetings.
There are two websites. There's a public, and then there's sort of a, you know, you have to have the password to get into it. I don't have a registered password to get into it.
That's the board.
COC, the Citizens Oversight Committee, had it prominently posted that about this.
Not when I went in at 2:30 this afternoon.
It was there when I went in at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
All right.
And it's been there, because I put it there. It's been there for months.
All right.
So I think maybe you're looking at another
website.
Well, you might be looking at another
website.
Are you looking at the board docs?
The very first, when you open up the site.
San Marcos.
The school district.
The very first, right. Uh-huh. Under the board docs. And, right, and
it's not
we're
board
not
docs.
Under board docs.
It's the Prop K.
Yeah, I went to the Prop K under the board docs.
We'll look.
Well, I double-checked it this morning. It was there. So.
There's a logo called Prop K. You have to scroll down, mm-hmm. and there's a logo called Prop K.
I went to there.
It's at the very bottom.
You might want to check that link. Maybe the link from that menu page doesn't direct them to...
It was working this afternoon, because I was talking with Cecilia about it, and from the front page, Prop K takes you to the Prop K website, and it shows the link to meetings.
Right.
It just drops down, and it says January 16th.
That wasn't at the website I was on then.
Oh. Yeah. But it's also set up now where you just Google in, you know, Prop K Citizens Oversight Committee, and you'll go right to our page.
Okay.
I will try that.
Well, if you can work with Cecilia, maybe you guys, you can tell her where you're going, walk her through it, and then you guys can work that out.
Yeah, I can help direct you.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
But I really appreciate that, because one of the things that we really want to do is be sure that people are aware.
That's why I bring it to your attention.
Yeah, thank you.
Seriously.
So we want to be sure to follow
that's
up
good.
On it.
Okay.
Okay, staff reports. David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. just real quick on the audit before we left the audit. Gary, I just briefly looking at the audit, I wanted to ask a couple questions. Is the firm of Christie White the same firm that does the audit for the school district?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. We have a 3-year contract.
Okay, so you you go out to bid, public bid? And
well, it's not a public bid. It's
a request for proposal.
RFP or RFQ or something?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so there's some sort of competitive process. And it looks to be an unqualified opinion, which is the best possible opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there seems to be no...
There was no findings.
No findings.
No.
All right. So is there anything else that staff's aware of that isn't included in the audit?
No. It does go to June 30th.
Right.
Okay. Remember that. It's interesting. You're halfway through the year, and you get your audit for last June. Mm-hmm. That's hard to handle. But it's expenditures and whatever was done by then. And not a lot of the technology was actually approved before June 30th, so you don't see a lot of technology things in here.
All right, well, you know, from my limited experience, I've only done a bunch of these. It seems like the best possible audit findings you would expect. Mm-hmm. And that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On page 12, on the note 3, it says first bullet point. Near the last sentence, or the last sentence of that bullet, the principal balance outstanding as of June 30th, 2013, is $144,248,995.
Mm-hmm.
That's higher than last year's, $142,000,000. And then when you add that number to the to the second number.
It's 213, something 214.
It's not 207.
No.
It's showing on the principal. Is there the
difference? I'll ask him. Sometimes you can stare at this all day and I won't see something, but that's a good point because it should be 242.
May I suggest, since we just got it, I know you had a few minutes before I came in. What I would suggest is February 10th, that's going to be presented to the board. Between now and then, let's take a look at it. Let's try to figure out what questions we have. Let's listen to the presentation to the board. And then later on, we're going to talk about scheduling a special meeting to think about the annual report. And again, this is going to be a core element of that annual report. So I think we should think about scheduling that meeting after the March 10th board meeting to really, you know, go through the details of the audit report and whatever questions we have, we can give to Gary before the presentation to the board. So let's take the next couple of weeks here, carefully review this, come up with our questions, and let's think about scheduling a special meeting where we can really go through and figure out how this is going to fit into our annual report after the March 10th.
And just quickly, it's the bond principal plus accreted interest. That's why. The accreted interest is not a part of the original bond proceeds. They have to do that on the capital, the CABs.
Okay.
That's a part of that. So the auditor can explain that. We can look for the charts to explain that.
Okay. And then on page 19, I will look forward to their explanation under test of expenditures.
Uh-huh.
They sampled those 27 payments for a total of 28% of expenditures.
Yes.
Last year, they did 33 payments for a total of 65% of the total expenditure. Mm-hmm. Why do they feel that's adequate?
Yeah, you have to ask. We can ask them that.
Okay. Anything else in the audit process? Okay. Moving on then to item 8, staff reports.
Okay, great. I'm going to let Kari start off. He has the big picture, and then we'll let Kathy key in on this particular project, and then I'll follow up with a few other items. So, and since we're not using a screen, we're going to hand out we did hand out the presentation to everybody.
So we're doing this one first.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
Do you have more?
Sure.
Kari got one. Mm-hmm. He's getting one of those.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's got one.
Okay, so first page is just a summary of the agenda. We'll go through the program update on where we are with the various projects, and then the last couple of pages talks about the financial summary. Throughout the program update, we'll be talking about the financial portions of each project, but the summary will be at the back end. Page 3, if you look in the upper right corner, are the page numbers. Page 3 is the three projects that we're focusing on currently, which is San Marcos High School Reconstruction Project, Technology Infrastructure Project, and the Woodland Park Middle School Project. These are the same projects that we discussed previously, and so that's where we are continuing with those projects. Page 4, San Marcos High School. What I like to do in these presentations is highlight to you the changes from last. Not often, you know, not much changes between meetings, which is a good thing. So I like to highlight where there are changes. So, for instance, under schedule, you'll see that the August-September is in italics. So if you see italics, it's typically where we've made some changes. So you can see the definition there. Because of some on-campus parking, we do have a delay in schedule to push the fields and things out. If you're familiar, the fields are related to the additional parking that we're putting on the sites. It takes time for grass to grow and things like that. And so with those changes, the schedule is pushing out just a bit. On the last presentation, we said July. And so this one is pushing out towards, we're looking like in August or September instead of a July date for those. But again, it doesn't affect the kids in the classrooms. They're already in the classrooms. This is really just referring to fields and parking. Other than that, no changes to the budget, scope, schedule, and budget. Questions? Yes.
So does that
mean Kathy will go into more detail, so if it's a detailed question, it'll probably be addressed later.
So when the kids go back to school in September?
Mm-hmm. August, probably.
August.
August. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Will they be using the new parking or the current parking?
They'll be using the new parking. We will be finishing off the front parking lot for staff by the 1st of April, and then we're going to move all the staff into the front parking lot right out here. And we will then not be using the Discovery parking lot or the San Marcos parking lot. The San Marcos parking lot will start the demolition to build the new varsity softball field. So we'll have kind of a varsity ball field complex down there with the varsity baseball and varsity softball down in that area.
Mm-hmm. So the delays will primarily be related to fields, not parking.
Field. Okay.
Right, correct.
We like to let the grass grow a little bit, right. So before they get on it, especially with cleats and things.
Okay. Page 5 for technology infrastructure projects. Again, not much has changed, which is a good thing, but you'll see under the italics, so under status, there are some additional work in Phase 3, and I'll show you that on the next page schedule. And then under San Marcos Middle School, under status, you'll see that the E-rate funding has been received. So if you recall, we're maximizing the Prop K dollars by also incorporating what's called federal E-rate dollars. By putting those together, we can do a lot more bang for our buck. So last meeting, those funding was not received, and now they are received, and so we're able to proceed with that project.
It's a grant that we applied and received.
So those are the major changes on technology infrastructure scope of work. Next page is schedule. And this is just a layout of the schedule and budget. Again, no big changes here. The San Marcos Middle School E-rate project, you'll see italics on spring 2014 under schedule. Last one just said winter of 2013. We were hoping to get started. We didn't get the funding in time, so we're going to go in spring of 14 instead of winter of 13. And then, again, various italics throughout. The first phase, we had a little bit more delay than we thought a couple weeks later. So you'll see, for instance, Mission Hills High School, MHHS, under 2013, November, and then December as well. So we thought we would be done in November. It pushed a couple weeks into December. Same thing with La Costa Metals, LCM, December 2013. It's delayed a little bit. It pushed into 2014. So you can read this and see which changes are occurring according to the italics that you see in there. But not a whole lot of changes, just a couple of weeks push on the schedule. So as far as schedule is concerned, phase one complete, construction is almost complete. Phase two is in design. We're actually getting ready to go out for bid for that project, which is just continuing with more of the infrastructure for the various campuses that you see on the schedule. The last piece of puzzle, just as a reminder, phase four, we're kind of holding off on phase four. By the time we get to that point, technology changes so fast, we're kind of just holding the money without really a game plan. It's held for technology upgrades at that time because if we buy it now, it's going to be out of date by the time we get there.
Yeah,
so the phase four is a $5 million to hold for that portion. So down below, you can see the budgets related to the phases. Phase one, $2.5 million. Phase two and phase three combined is $12.5 million. And then phase four is that $5 million that we're holding until we get closer to the finish line to really to use it wisely.
One of the driving forces of phase one, two, and three, nationally they've changed testing. Where you used to, like we grew up, bubble sheets, and so they got rid of it. Everything has to be on a computer by the spring of 2015. They're going to give us a test drive in 2014. But this is needed to make everything work. So if you're on a computer, you can get to wireless and have a bank of 40 computers running in one area and not get it jammed up. So that's what Bill Simpson and Kari are working on, to get it up and running by that drop-dead date in the spring of 2015.
Correct. You can see the end of phase three is that spring of 2015. So that's what we're really shooting for. That's our goal. Yeah. Page seven is this is more of an explanation for this group in particular to show how the intermingling is happening between the Prop K dollars and the E-rate dollars, so that you know that they're not getting mixed up. So this has not changed since our last meeting. It's the same information, so I won't spend a lot of time, but it's just a reminder. We want to make sure you're understanding which portions are used for Prop K or from Prop K and which portions are used for the E-rate, and even district funds are a portion of this as well, so we're making sure we're using the dollars appropriately according to the grant definitions. Okay. Next page, page 8, and just stop me if you have any questions. I'll pause or stop me if you need to. Page 8 is Woodland Park Middle School. It's in construction. We're getting really close to the finish line on this one. I have lots of pictures on the next couple pages. The only change here is we did push off at the end of the project. We're shooting to be done in January. It looks like a February 14 finish, only for countertops. So we actually are hitting January 27th for finishing everything, except for our countertops have been delayed into the month of February. But we want to be honest about that with you all and just let you know that the project has been delayed a bit. The biggest one that I do want to point out on budget, you'll see the italics. There was a construction increase of $160,000. This came from DSA-related changes. So we got through into the project, and there was a note on the plans that said all sidewalks must be accessible. The architect checked them previously. He thought they were accessible. We came out with a level. The inspector came out level and said they're not accessible. And it was a $160,000 add there. So it's not something we can control. It's something that the state makes us do to make sure everything's accessible. We did the preliminaries. Today is different. We're trying to figure out why and how that happened, but we do need to proceed accordingly. So there was a bit of a hit there. Overall, in the big scheme of things, it's not that big, but according to this project, it was a big hit, but we're trying to address it accordingly. So just, again, trying to be transparent with our process and with what we're doing here. Any questions on that?
This is one of those things. It's when we want to do a lot of stuff around the district. Once you touch something, now mm-hmm. you're into the whole new right. rules. And Kari and Kathy explained it much better than I did, but if you're doing something way over here, you have to bring it all the way back to the parking lot,
right.
this accessibility. And as I mentioned before, I did one building years ago with two walls. I had to change the ramp outside there, and I already had a ramp. I had to change two bathrooms, another ramp near a ramp, and then a ramp into the parking lot. So all the way along, those two walls cost about almost $300,000 by the time we got finished, and that was probably 204, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And it's this. I hope this doesn't sound like blame, but the rules change often. Different lawsuits create different changes in the law, as you all are aware, so the accessibility rules change often. It's almost like a 5-year rule. So every 5 years, there's new rules. you know, quarter inch lip versus half inch lip, things like that. So this is something that, you know, school districts have to chase. We have to make sure we meet the requirements of the state as we go along. So
these were mandated changes. If you want to do this project,
that's correct.
You have to do it
that's
this
correct.
Way.
And like he stated, unfortunately, the project we're working on literally is one of the furthest buildings in the back of the campus. So from the accessible parking spot at the front door, which there's two of them in this case, we have to have a path from that spot all the way to that classroom, and from this spot all the way to that classroom.
And there's no viable alternative to change that project location to alleviate that problem?
This particular one, no, it's an art classroom. And so it's a very specialized classroom, and we have different water fixtures and things like that associated. So this particular case, there wasn't really an option.
It's exceptionally large, too.
Right, and it's exceptionally large as well.
So to change that project would have probably cost you more than what it would
That's
cost
correct.
To comply
That's
with
correct.
These changes.
And we also put another bathroom in, so there's
another
handicap thing and issues. And,
yeah. I mean, you can see the total project cost was $786,000. So the majority of that is going into that one particular classroom. So compared to the 160 classroom, it would be a lot more to change the classroom than to change the accessibility.
Actually, it's not just that; it's a wing. You know,
there's three classrooms that are being touched in this process.
Yeah, the interesting thing, this site now, we open our doors and it's not compliant.
Right.
And a lot of that's because it went through a Division of State Architect in 2011. So we've had code changes since then. Potentially they could come in and require us to do something. And that's what happens sometimes when you send plans back or your inspector in Carr's case, you know, finds these things. And so you know you have to be compliant. You want to be compliant as far as that goes. So it's a real tough issue to follow. But we do our best.
And we're so fortunate we have one of the DSA people living in our district and drives to work past our schools.
And his kids go to our school.
Yeah.
And his son goes to this school.
So is that a benefit? Or
ironically.
No. He called and goes, where did that come from? I was driving this, and you had this thing there. Where did that come from? I don't see. You get proof. So
it's tough to put up a wall.
Yeah. A fence. He'll
sign. But again, like Kathy said, we want to be compliant. We don't want this to be a fight, but it is something we constantly have to chase. So the next few pages, you just kind of look through them. That's the art classroom on page 9 that I'm referring to. They got brand new tabletops, brand new casework for storage. They're also dealing with a DocuCam station at the front of the classroom, so when the teacher does a demonstration, she can show the whole classroom on the projector above. So it's a very nice upgrade. This is part of the way through. Page 10 is the new staff restroom. It was just the teachers were having a hard time getting to the restroom and getting back to their classroom in time. That's just the bottom line here. So this was to help them out with that. It's hard to see it, which is a good thing again, because it's an addition to an existing building. So you can, on the right page, it's just straight on. On the left page, it's the left little poke out from the existing building that you see there. So again, we just try to make it blend in as much as we could with the existing condition. The canopy is existing, so that wasn't an additional cost. The canopy was already there as a lunch spot. Page 11, this is going into the administration building. The way I explained it to the board the other night, we have a lot of great things going on in the classrooms, and we're supporting those things, but we also have to support the support staff to get there. So it's hard to put money into admin, but that's the reason why we put money into admin and support services. We need to support the people that are supporting our classrooms. So this is quite a few changes in the admin. They needed an extra conference room, for instance. They have a lot more special ed and things going on. They needed that extra conference room, so that's what you see on the right. On the left side, to try to help balance that, they had an existing workroom, and we actually reused the existing casework. It wasn't old enough to tear apart, but we took it off the walls, we moved it, and we put it back on again. So we are trying to save dollars where it makes sense without going too far.
And these are the counters that are missing?
And those are the counters that are missing.
If you look at this picture, this is experience, Doug. If you look at the cabinets up top, through experience, the architects found out, you know, when you put a cabinet, the teachers who never throw anything away start putting boxes of stuff
on top.
And so they put slants on there to keep you from putting, you know, boxes of paper, which is very heavy.
Yeah. And it makes an earthquake is the primary reason we do it now.
Yeah.
If they put something up and it's earthquake and it falls on someone's head, liability. So slope tops is definitely the way to go with case.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're into the financial summary on page 12.
Carrie, just before we move
Kari,
to that, Carrie, I went on the website today,
yes.
And I really think it's great. And I noticed on the program or the project updates, it looked like it was just it looked like it was just updated yesterday.
It was last week, but recently, yes.
Yeah. So does that reflect what's in here? Because what we had talked about was updating that quarterly after our meeting. So
yes, it does.
So it's